Welcome, everyone. This is Sasha, SashaTalks.com. Today, we are going to be covering a topic which has acquired awareness globally in the recent years. It is mental health. Keep in mind that mental health is different than mental illness. Today, I have a guest who will be joining me, a longtime contributor of Sasha Talks. I want to remind everyone that the content is subject to the terms of service and disclaimers of Sasha Talks. Let's welcome Natasha. Welcome to the show, Natasha.
Thank you, Sasha. How are you?
I'm doing well, and it appears that we're going to be covering mental health. What were you taught about mental health before I share an informal definition of it?
Oh, well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for having me as your guest tonight. I do appreciate it. It's been a long time. Well, you know what? That's the thing, Sasha. I grew up, I didn't grow up in this country. I actually grew up in the Caribbean, and there's a lot of what I call old school thinking with people that is the generation above me. The people from the islands, they think very differently. And it's an unspoken rule that they don't believe in mental health. Everything with the people in the Caribbean is something's wrong, you pray it away. If something doesn't feel right, you pray it away. There's no such thing as feeling down. There's no such thing as feeling depressed, because the elder generation will always come back at you and say, well, what do you have to feel down about? What are you depressed about? You have a roof over your head. You have food in your refrigerator. What more do you need? And so growing up, whenever I was feeling a certain way, I never looked at it as, maybe there could be something wrong with mental health. Maybe I needed to get help from a professional, because my upbringing always taught me that there was never anything wrong with me, that I had a roof over my head and food in my fridge, and I should be grateful for the current situation that I was in. So it really was not until I became well into my adult years, before I realized that there's so much more to this. This is bigger than what my mother and what her mother taught us. And that there is a need for self-care. And it was during the time when the pandemic hit that put me in a place of being still and having an opportunity to self-digest and self-reflect on things of the past, how things could have been different, how I could have handled certain things differently, and how I was forced into a place of being in tune with my emotions and what I was feeling at during that given time, during the pandemic. So I moved away and I moved back at, during the time of the pandemic, because I was separated from some of my loved ones, and I didn't want to be in that state. And when I came back, I got a new primary care doctor. And I remember, this was kind of like my journey, where my real journey began. When I got that new primary care doctor, we started talking because we found out we had a couple things in common. We were both from the Caribbean. We both grew up outside of this country. Our parents, we had similar parent type stories. And the doctors always make you stand on the scale. The one thing that I always like, I'm like, oh my God, do we have to do this? But they make you stand on the scale. And my weight ended up being a topic of conversation during that particular appointment. And I remember her saying to me, I can't remember the exact words, but I do recall one of the words that she said, and she was talking about self-love. And I had a aha moment during that time, because here I am, all these years I struggled with my weight for a long time, and I always kept on saying, you know, I know I have this weight, I know I have to lose weight. And when she made the statement about self-love, I knew that I loved myself, but then I had to ask my que the question, how much do I love myself? Because I do believe that there are levels to self-love. You know, we could love ourselves at a point, but still not take care of our body, still not do the things that we know we have to do. But then that's when I had my aha moment, saying that this is the point where I have to treat myself more better, if that even makes sense. I don't know that that's good grammar, but more better than how I was treating myself before that month. And so I went on a journey and made up my mind that, you know, the things that I want to do for my health, physically, mentally, and emotionally, my journey literally began that day. So during this time, you know, not only did I make up my mind that I had to be a little bit more intentional about weight loss, but I also called a third party to do some talk therapy, because I realized that there were certain things that was blocking some of the levels of my self-love, that I had to, you know, come to terms with and deal with and face, you know, come face to face with some of these things, so that my self-love journey could be more intentional and more effective. I just said a whole lot there, didn't
Oh
I?
no, there are a lot of golden nuggets that we can extract. When you shared your experience, it runs very parallel to my upbringing and, at a minimum, the generation before me, because I came from an environment where, a bit similar to you, pray things into your life. If you're not feeling well, you pray it out of your life. Of course, you had to put in the effort through the action, but it's not as mental health was an isolated topic, a dinner table conversation, never ever in my upbringing. And it wasn't until my adult years I was introduced to it as a proper topic. And you learn that we put in so much time, effort, resources into our physical body, how we look, or at a minimum, assuming that to a degree, your form translates to how healthy you are. And even with that, there are a lot of stereotypes. But with mental health, it was, you're not feeling well, go take a nap. When you wake up, you're going to be feeling okay. That is the household I came from. Therefore, I had no proper education about it until later in time. And also, when you talked about the varying degrees of self-love, I went, ooh, that is a hot point, because I was reflecting upon our talk earlier. And I asked myself, what was something, especially during the pandemic, I got to practice? And I often talk about having healthy boundaries is one thing, and standards about how we manage our relationship with life. But also for me, it was about enforcing those healthy boundaries in my mental and emotional health, meaning I have a high threshold, probably because of my work ethic and my personality of being able to give, but also drawing that line of, okay, this is how much you're going to do today, and the rest you have to give yourself to yourself.
And you know, I think prior to COVID, so I would say majority of the world population, we are used to a certain pace, and sometimes we don't even realize the pace that we're going until we actually stop and identify how tired we are, because we push ourselves and push ourselves and push ourselves so much that we never stop to take that moment. And for, you know, that old saying, stop and smell the roses. We've never stopped to do, you know, to do things like that. And one of the things that I have been trying to implement in my life, as we talk about mental health, is I've been trying to practice mindfulness. And That is something that is completely new to me. I've never implemented it in my life before, but the practice of mindfulness, I'm amazed how when you take the time and intentionally turn everything off. Just as a side note, we as a society, we are so glued to our phones. This technology, it literally it dictates our lives. It runs our lives. We don't manage it. It literally manages us. But I've been trying to take that moment where I'm away from the phone. I close my eyes and I try to just be still and clear my mind, which is actually not an easy thing to do. Especially in today's society, we have people, and I'm specifically talking about North Americans, Canada and the US. We are so used to like going at a pace that I don't even know how most of us even keep up with it. But to take the time and just be still, to clear my mind and just block everything out, you'd be surprised the benefits that come along with that. I visit this place, here where I live called, my goodness, why did I just go blank? Conception, I love it. And what it is, it's a gym for mental health. It's not a gym in the sense of if you walk through the door, you're going to see a treadmill or an elliptical machine or, weights and dumbbells. It is a gym where you go in and it's got dimmed lights and there's like four different circuits that you go through. And the first one, you sit in a chair, the chair reclines, you have these he this heavy weighted eye guards or eye masks on, and you have a headphone on, and it takes you through like a 30-minute circuit where the music, the sound of the waves, the sound of the birds, and just a gental soft type music in the background, and it brings that level of anxiety, any kind of anxiety that you might have walked into the building with, it just releases all that from you. And I said, after going through these circuits and feeling what I felt when I walked out of there, I said that this is something I needed to make part of my regular life, because it just felt good. It just felt good. But to add to my mental health, I started talking to a therapist and meet about twice a month now, and we've gone on this 4-month journey, and I probably could have ended it about a month or 2 ago, but I started looking at mental health kind of like the way we maintain our cars. We take our cars in every so many thousand miles for an oil change, because it oil changing o changing the oil in your car is good for the health of your car, and it helps your car run better. It's part of the maintenance, and it just keeps it all running and driving, and it extends the life of the car. So, I meet with my therapist twice a month, and we just talk about some of the things that might have happened during the week, how I felt about it, if I managed it well, if I didn't manage it well, what I could have done differently. And it actually turned out to be a really nice relationship, and it's something I plan to do for myself for the duration of the year, just because it keeps me on a good path, and I feel like I think things through a little bit clearer, because I know that her and I are going to be meeting every 2 weeks, but with her help, she has brought me to a place of understanding and identifying things from my past and releasing some of those things from my past. Just on a, it's been a really good journey, you know, having the ability to talk to someone. And going back to what I said to you in the beginning, you know, growing up in the Caribbean, where the mindset is a little different when it comes to talking about mental health, it made me realize that there is nothing wrong with talking to a therapist. My family growing up, you know, if you talk to a therapist, that meant that you were crazy, you know. And I'm sorry if I used that word. I don't even know if I was allowed to use the word crazy, but
Oh,
that
no,
was the
not at all. We
mindset.
get the context.
Yeah. But that was the mindset that my family, meaning my mother and her generation, her siblings and my grandmother, you know, you talk to somebody like that, you know, you go to the crazy house, or you're talking to the, you know, I don't even know some of the terminologies that they used, you know, to refer to therapists. But today, in today's time, I commend people that are brave enough to incorporate therapy into their life. I feel like we could all benefit from it in one way or another.
Absolutely. And I always remind people when working with any form of therapist, make sure that they are accredited. You're working with a licensed therapist because, as in any profession, there are those that are great, good, and those that should not be practicing any form of profession due to possibly how they manage their life and their values. And going back to what you mentioned about the Caribbean, and the perception of therapy, that something, why do you need to go to therapy? Why are you going to talk to somebody who may have more of an objective view of pointing out our strengths and possibly blind spots? And also that stigma. Of course, there are some things that should remain within the confines of under the roof and the four walls, unless it's a safety issue. But when it comes down to what you talk about, self-management, it doesn't hurt to help us manage our emotions and our mental health and be able to identify, okay, what are the triggers that brings out this type of reaction in me? So I know how to not either repeat a situation or reinforce positive behavior. Now, during the pandemic, there was the challenge of how did people manage either they were alone or they were in lockdowns with their loved ones. You leave them alone with their thought. And I
Oh,
learned a
goodness.
lot of people struggled with that idea because there are so many distractions in life. And at one point, it got reduced down to I could either go to the gas station, grocery shopping, or just go outdoors because so many places were closed. Where do you go to interact with life?
Oh my gosh, that is so true. And that was for me, that was a struggle because, you know, I always worked a corporate job, and I always had my routine of waking up in every morning and going through the routine of brushing my teeth, taking my shower, having my coffee, getting in my car, driving to an office where I was around the presence of people that got on my last nerve. But that was my norm. That was my norm, you know, and being thrown in a sudden situation where they call you and they say, you can't come to the office, you can't leave your home, you can't do this. Now, what was my normal routine, which was a, you know, a healthy distraction of not having to stop and identify other things in life. All that has been taken away from me. And now you have to learn a new norm of sitting, you know, in my case, sitting at home alone. And what do you do? What do I do? You know, I don't, you know, my normal routine has been pulled from under the rug, and I'm sitting in a one bedroom apartment that's about 700 square feet, working from with my laptop sitting on a kitchen island, sitting on a stool with no back, no back supports. And there's nothing to break up the monotony of the confines of this one bedroom apartment. They're just the four walls around me. And that a lot of people struggled in that area because, even for people like myself, I'm an introvert by nature, but I recognize that you still need the presence of people's energy, because we vibe off each other. And let me rephrase. You still need the presence of people's good energy, and taking that away from me, I really struggled. And there were days when I didn't know the words to describe exactly what I was feeling. I didn't know what I was feeling. I knew I was feeling something. I wasn't lonely every day because, like I said, I'm an introvert by nature, but there were days where I felt alone. Alone, and I just want to point out that there is definitely a difference between feeling lonely and feeling alone. And that feeling of being alone, it really screamed loud in my ears. And I had days where I wouldn't say that I got to a point of feeling depressed, but there were days where I got to the feeling down. And I am, let me say, wait, let me rephrase that. I was a mood eater and I was a mood drinker. So when I got bored or I was feeling certain things, the most natural thing for me to do was to find something to eat. And in so many cases, especially during that time, I wasn't even hungry, but I was bored. So I would eat and I would drink, and I really did a lot of I lacked self-love when it came to my body during that time because the weight that I had put on, it came up. I already needed to lose weight in the first place, but I added weight on top of the weight that I needed to lose, because I didn't know how to manage this new norm of being in isolation and identifying some of the feelings that I was experiencing. I didn't know how to manage that. So, I probably could have gone for walks, but right around the month of October, November, when things, when it started getting cold outside, and I am not a cold weather person, I was finding that most of my days were spent indoors. And I, took myself on random drives in the evening just to get out of the apartment. And of course, that's a natural thing to do when you're out just roaming the streets in your car and you have nowhere to go. Hey, you go to the drive-thru, even though you're not hungry, So, myself and many other people, I think this pandemic, it really made the counseling business, it really gave them their industry. I've heard from many people in that industry that said that they had no room on their calendar to add any more clients, to their schedule, because people need people and people needed to talk. And during this pandemic, there were people that were alone that, didn't have the good fortunes of having people around them, just to have that casual conversation. Or I admired the people that were in isolation with their families. I was not that fortunate. I was in isolation by myself. It felt very, very different. Very,
I
it was
will
a cha
say in the
challenging
first,
times. No, sorry about
oh,
that.
no problem. In the first 2 years of the pandemic, I will say that many different forms of counseling saw a peak, even in the spiritual counseling arena, where people were reaching out at different hours of the day with challenges, whether it had to do with them or the people that they were in lockdowns with. So I will say for the industry, it was great. But
Yeah.
everything in moderation. You want people to have good problems, not necessarily bad problems, which get worse.
Yeah.
And you mentioned what you did with your lockdown time. I mean, outside of my professional commitments, I was fortunate that most of my lockdown was by myself and then part of it with company. And when I would walk out, I realized that I'm walking in a similar direction as all of these other strangers going where I'm going. And I would see the humor in it because we're all lining up by outside a grocery store, wrapping around the building for 40 minutes to an hour. Because at one point, they had to regulate how many people could go in and come out. And
Yeah.
you start finding yourselves in a situation where people were either more open to saying hello to another stranger
Yeah.
because we're not really interacting with anyone outside of the four walls or the home or the roof.
Yeah. Yeah. It brought us to a place because we all had that one thing in common, you know. And it also made us realize how some of the simple things that we, you know, experience in life, we, you know, we made us realize that we took a lot of that stuff for granted. S simple things like going to the grocery store, simple things like, you know, being in close proximity to people, simple things like, you know, visiting family. The news showed so many people going to visit some of their loved ones, and they were waving to each other, you know, through the window. So some of the simple things that, you know, that we took for granted, you know, we embraced it because once we were in a position to, you know, once they lifted some of the restriction, you know, you ran to get, you know, to add those things back into your life that we weren't able to do during the lockdown. So, you know, it's amazing to stop and think of how some of the simple things that you know, makes up our routine day and things that we did take for granted, how much of an impact not being able to do some of those things, how much of an impact it made on our lives. You miss it. You miss it. I used to say, I remember you know, looking at people that had the ability to work from home, and I remember saying, "Oh, I wish I worked from home." And you know, I laugh because I'm like, be careful what you wish for because your words have impact. And now I work from home 5 days a week, and thank God we're not in our lockdown anymore. But I still sometimes miss the presence of people, you know, because I literally get up, I get out of my bed, and I walk down my little hallway, and there I am, my computer, my little workspace, you know. Yeah, be careful what you wish for.
I often
Interesting.
tell people that because I know for a good chunk of the population, it was a new experience for them to have what remote work is. And I was very fortunate that with the work that I have designed, it was just a natural transition to just, I got to meet more people than usual because a lot of people couldn't go out to traditional workspaces to conduct business. So they started looking online. Of how can I get my messages out? And as we come towards the end, how are you managing your mental health better? What was one positive that you took away from your experience in the recent years?
I think the one thing that I took away was what I started talking about earlier was that I need to learn how to love myself at a different level. That was the one thing that I took from all this. Self-love, and I needed to step my game up with that. My health was going down during you know, the pandemic. I wasn't treating myself good with how I was eating, what I was eating, lack of exercise, lack of literally lack of self-love. And I needed to shift that around completely. That for me, that was the one thing that I took away from all this. So when I was able to make some changes, and I, when the gyms reopened, I joined the gym. I started working out. I started eating differently. I had to completely shift my mindset and how I chose to view me, how I chose to love myself, how I chose to take care of my body, how I choosing to take care of my mind. I even started meditating, which is something that I've never done before. So, and I now, like, I am present when I spend time with my daughters now. That was another thing I kind of took away from that. Because it was so easy before to be with them, but not really be with them. Like, we could be in the same roof, but everybody was on their phone, sending text messages on TikTok or whatever. But for myself, now I can't speak for my daughters because they're kind of still in a place where, they're not always present, but I choose to be present. When I'm with them, when we're spending time together. So that's the one, those are the two things, being present when it comes to being with my daughters and taking my self-love to another level.
And do you have an action item for audience members to integrate in their day-to-day life to help with their mental health?
I start my morning off every day with meditation. And because meditating is new to me, I am not that person that meditates for 20 minutes at a time. But even if it's just 5 minutes of just starting your day off where you're not picking up the phone, you're not looking at Instagram or Facebook or TikTok, but you just go and start every morning off with just yourself to set your intentions for the day. And that has really been something that has made a difference with the course of how my day could go. So that would be that one thing that I would, recommend that, I'm not saying you have to do it. I'm not saying if you choose to do it, I'm not saying go in for an hour and sit cross-legged and make those funny noises like home. No, I'm just saying just to be still, away from the technology, close your eyes, listen to the sounds around you, and just set those intentions for the day. It makes all the difference in the world. It's the little things. It's the little action item that when you put them all together, it could make a huge difference. It's making a good day.
And I want to remind people, meditation has a lot of different perception and interpretations, but the objective has to do with bringing ourselves to calm ourselves down to the point where we can connect in the present. That no, you don't need to be dressed in a certain uniform or attire, engage in very specific gestures in order to connect with yourself, or to spend X amount of money for you to say that you're meditating. And my action item will be something that I've been practicing for several years, and it has made an immense difference in my life. I would say gratitude.
Oh, yeah,
Every day
absolutely.
I do it. And I will say, from the time that I've been practicing, I don't think I've ever have encountered a day where I felt, okay, my cup is empty. I mean, you could have a bad day, but remember, you're not having a bad life.
So true. Sasha, I have to ask, do you have a gratitude journal that you write in every day?
Yep, it started several years ago, and I told myself I have heard about it, and maybe only people who watch Oprah do it. And then eventually it just was an organic activity where I started it with as a gratitude journal, but every day I practiced a supplement, which was forgiveness, forgiving one person, thing, or event from my day. And I realized that we hold in so many things that block our ability to be grateful for. So whether it's harboring, let's say, a conversation that never had a closure, or somebody cutting me off in traffic, or there might be days where I have to forgive myself and go, I will be kinder to myself. It comes naturally for me to be good to other people. Why can't you be good to yourself? And I would practice the forgiveness thing alongside gratitude, and the gratitude part still travels to this day. That it could be something simple. When I tell people, you don't have to sit down and put in an hour. You could be grateful for your food, shelter, clothing, resources, having loved ones. I mean, there are days where I'm just grateful for getting a good cup of tea.
Makes all the difference in the
Exactly.
world,
And I always tell
absolutely. Or
people
even a
that,
good night's sleep.
exactly. And I often say, there's always something, at least one thing, whether it's a materialistic value or not. And majority of the things that I'm grateful for, I realize, have nothing to do with things. It might be just a beautiful day, like great weather, and I'm celebrating.
Let me share with you. Yesterday was the first day in probably 4 or 5 days that I was able to see the sun, blue skies, and even though it was cold, it felt good. It felt so good, and I was so grateful for that sunshine. I always say that I have a mild, not a mediocre case of seasonal affective disorder. So when I don't see the sunshine, it's challenging on my whole entire being. But when I saw that sunshine yesterday, I was truly grateful for it.
And I tell people, you never know. You never know how you begin your day and if you're going to make it to the end of the day. So be grateful for what you have, because if you're not grateful for even having 2 sips of water, you're not going to be any more grateful when somebody hands you a gallon of water.
Yeah, that is so true. So true. The practice of gratitude, it's huge. And I every day, I wake up and I'm grateful for waking up. I'm grateful for the ability to go to work. I'm grateful for the opportunity to communicate with people, family. I mean, there's so many small things of what some people might refer to as small things that we take for granted. That if it was taken away from us, just like I said earlier, it would have such a big impact in our lives. So, we really have to start every day just grateful and thankful for just life in general.
And just one quick note on gratitude was one thing I realized was I wasn't waiting for life to happen to me. With gratitude, it was as I am happening to life. So it organically helped me lean into life. And I believe also the quality of my life and how I perceive things around me have significantly been more positive, because you're not standing on the sideline and going, I'm going to engage when life starts being more cooperative. And, Mother Nature's laughing at us human beings.
That is so true. I think sometimes we tend to obsess over things that could go wrong, but what if everything went right? We have to start living now, not when things happen, but being present for every day. Just live life now. Because just like you said, we don't know. And I've had so many examples of how, life could be taken away from us in the blink of an eye. So we really have to be grateful for moments that we have now.
And finally, Natasha, you have been a very valuable contributor over the years. You've talked about self-development, relationships, and today we talk about mental health. Where do you get your wisdom from?
Where do I, you know what? I learn lessons from everybody around me. It's amazing how you get a nugget from everybody. that you talk to. And sometimes they don't even know that they're feeding you nuggets. I know, I remember getting something from you, Sasha, when we were communicating the other day. But even my young daughters, I pick up stuff from them. They put me in place, in my place, so many times. But like I said, there are, I really believe that, some people refer to God, some people say the universe. At the end of the day, I feel like it's all the same. But I really feel like, there are people that come into our lives, they send us messages. We have to learn how to hear it and receive it. And sometimes it's like I said, it's they're just having simple conversations, but sometimes it's that spoken word that you need right at that time in your life, and you have to be able to just receive it into your life. So I get my wisdom from everybody that I interact with one way or another.
Well, Natasha, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I had a good time. Great
It's
conversation.
always great chatting with you because when we're engaging out loud, there's always something new that we could share a laugh over. But at the same
Yes.
time, we always walk away with something to reflect on.
Absolutely. Absolutely so true.
So thank
Yeah.
you very much.
Thank you, Sasha.